Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Tell Your Story, Don't Assume the Customer Knows. Well, as you know, Tom, I'm this month's presenter. So with that said, what part of the presentation jumped out at you?
Well, Bill, statistics always catch my attention. When you quoted a study that was done a few years ago by the Remodeler magazine, my ears perked up. The study stated that 68% of consumers are not satisfied. That's right, 68% are not satisfied with the work their contractors have done for them. When I heard that, I couldn't help but reflect on the poor image our industry has in the eyes of the consumer. The other statistic that jumped out was that 63% of the customers stated that they didn't use the same company the second time around, even if they were fully satisfied with the work, because they couldn't remember who they used. Both stats point to the subject of this month's presentation, which is the need for company employees to convey to the customer the story of the company in a way that makes a lasting impression.
You are so right, Tom. You know, during this presentation, I convey several examples of companies that have done the job really great. You know, they've done a great job of telling the story, as well as a few that, quite honestly, totally missed the mark. The important issue, however, is really what to do about it, and that's the thrust of this presentation.
I agree, Bill. Before the presentation begins, let's share a little of your background. Bill joined Grandy & Associates back in 2005, and today is the president and owner of the company. Bill has more than 30 years in the trades industry, with experience in HVAC sales, service management, sales management, and customer service. Bill's worked with both large and small companies and has a passion for teaching contractors to better understand their businesses and help their employees become superior performers.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And now, let's listen to this month's Prophet University audio series presentation titled, Tell Your Story, Don't Assume the Customer Knows. There are a lot of places that people in your market can go to get the products and services that you offer. Why should they call you? I can go into your market right now, pull out my smartphone, and do a quick Google search. In a matter of seconds, I can find a dozen more just like you. Even in my community of Green Bay, which is not a big community, I can do a Google search for heating contractors Green Bay and find 813,000 listings in 0.6 seconds. AC contractors Green Bay gives me 820,000 listings in 0.5 seconds. Plumbing contractors Green Bay, 304,000 listings in 0.7 seconds. Pool service Green Bay gives me 908,000 listings in 0.7 seconds. Lawn irrigation, 150,000 listings in 0.7 seconds. Electrical contractors Green Bay gives me 304,000 listings in 0.4 seconds. You get the idea. There's a lot of places that I can choose to go to in order to get the products and services that you offer. Why should I call you? What makes you different? How do you convey that to your customers? Think about it for a minute. Many of us like to think that our customers all love us. They know us inside and out, and quite honestly, we have this tremendous following. We take care of them, and they're completely loyal to us. If they're at all unhappy, they would let us know because we have that open door policy with our customers, and they know it. We're all family after all, right? We've been providing their service since the day we installed their system. They're used to us being there for them, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. One of the things that we have to remember is that we're doing this every single day of the week. Every day is another customer's home that we go into and work on their equipment. Every day is another HVAC system to install, another pool liner to be replaced, another electrical panel to be serviced, another carpet to be cleaned, just another home that we have to work at today. We do this every day, day in and day out. For our customers, on the other hand, they don't do this every day. This is a big deal to them. From our customer's perspective, this seemingly everyday occurrence for you is anything but everyday for them. This is a big deal. Think about it. How often are you at your customer's home? If you have a regular maintenance agreement with them, maybe twice a year, it's not an everyday occurrence for them. They may have had to change their schedule around. They may have had to take time off from work. They may have had to arrange to have somebody else there to meet you at their home to let you in. It is a big deal for them. Then take this a step farther. While you're at your customers' homes every day and you're used to it, they aren't used to having people in their home every day. And you don't just go into their living room. You tend to go into all those places in the home where they don't normally let people into. You go into their basements. You go into their crawl spaces. You go into their bedrooms. I don't know about you, but every time I have to go into a customer's bedroom to access a circuit panel, I get a little bit uncomfortable. And so do they. I mean, think about it. How many times has a customer said something to the effect of, man, I'm sorry for this mess, or please excuse our mess, or man, my husband leaves so much junk lying around. They're uncomfortable with you seeing the way that they live behind the curtains. When you're in this situation, how do you leave them feeling? Do you even know? Don't assume. According to a study that was done a few years ago by Remodeler Magazine, 68% of consumers are not satisfied with the work that their contractors have done for them. 68%. That's incredible. The bar has not been set real high. Now, you may do a great job in this area, but are you really providing the level of service that your customers would like to see? While you might think that you are, you really need to be asking them for their input on this. Some technicians consider this and say, hey, we've been doing work for this customer for several years now. They know us. They're comfortable with us. I challenge you to view things in a different light. First, keep in mind what I said earlier. You're in your customer's homes every day. Your customer has you in their home only occasionally. Second, how many times are you really in your customer's home? Like I said earlier, yeah, how many times over the course of a year are you in your customer's home? Once? Twice? At most, if your customer has a maintenance agreement with your company, maybe it's twice. Now, I realize that if you're a pool company, yeah, your weekly pool maintenance happens just that way, weekly. Right? But at the same time, even many pool companies provide annual or semi-annual maintenance for their customers. That's the type of maintenance we're referring to here. Again, at most, twice per year? Your customers know of you. They don't know you. There's a big difference. There's a difference between knowing who your customer is and really knowing your customer. There's a real difference between your customer knowing your company and they're really knowing you and your business philosophy and your culture. Don't assume they know your story. They know of you. They don't know you. Again, there's a difference, a big difference. You need to tell your story, the whole story. Let the customer know what you're bringing to the table. I can come into your market, and again, I can pull out my smartphone, do a quick Google search, and find a dozen more just like you. A dozen more that can provide warm air or cool air, upgrade my electrical panel, clean my pool, repipe my house, replace my flooring, etc., etc. Why should I call you? What makes you different from all the rest of those guys out there that popped up in my search? This takes me back to when I was in college. I grew up in Wisconsin. Man, we had beer breweries every place. This was before the craft brewing craze came about. But man, at that time, we had the beer that made Milwaukee famous, Schlitz beer. For decades, they were the number one or number two brewery in the nation. Today, they're nothing but a trademark owned by somebody else. But back at that time, they were riding a huge sales wave. This sales wave was surrounded around a tagline that they were cold filter brewed. Because their beer was cold filter brewed, it tasted better. It was richer, fuller. It had more body. It was different. It was, it would set you apart. It was set apart from all the others. And so you had to have Schlitz beer because it was cold filter brewed. You needed to be buying Schlitz beer. And they were enjoying a huge sales wave as a result of that tagline. Now, at the same time, I went to school in La Crosse, Wisconsin. La Crosse is the home of Old Style Brewing Company, or at least it was back at that time. Now, as a starving young college student, one found out pretty quickly that you could pay 65 cents for a brewery tour and they serve free beer at the end. Our entire HVAC class would go on a brewery tour, something like 3-4 times a week. Now, when you take a brewery tour that often, they kind of get to know you after a while. In fact, one of the guys in our group actually started giving tours he had known it so well. Now, one day, after yet another tour that we had gone on, we walked into the tasting area. And on this particular day, the guy behind the bar looks at us and asks, "Okay, what'll it be today?" I looked over at him and I said, "You know, I've had every one of these flavors here already. Today, I want one of the good ones. I said, give me one of those cold filter brewed ones." Well, he stops and he looks at me and he goes, "Don't give me that garbage." He goes, "You know, we talk about that cold filter brewed line here all the time. They talk about it, you know, like it sets them apart, right? It makes their beer richer, it's fuller, it's got more body, and on and on and on. Right? There's no difference between them and us. We all do the exact same thing. We use the same brewing process. Every brewer in the state does the exact same thing. We're all cold filter brewed. So don't tell me it's the good stuff." Ah, this was my first marketing lesson, right? They were different. See, because they're the only ones who told anybody about it. And as a result, it made them different. The other brewers couldn't now jump on that line because now they'd be a me too, right? They had lost that opportunity to get value from one of those things that they did every day. They lost it. What do you bring to the table that would benefit your customer? Are you telling them? You need to. It's part of your brand. And yes, you do have a brand. The only question is it a good brand or is it a bad brand? But make no mistake, you do have a brand. You need to define this. And if you're not controlling it, you're just letting the brand happen to you. And that brand is part of the message that you're telling your customers every day. This could be that you have 347 total cumulative years of technical expertise to ensure that the system that you're going to install for your customer will work at the same level of comfort and efficiency as the day that you put it in, that it'll perform exactly as they thought it would when they purchased it during the sales process. This could be that you're licensed and insured. And you might say, well, doesn't everybody have to be insured? Maybe. But the real question is everybody insured? Right? And the answer to that is no. And, you know, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, if anything happens to us while we're on your property, you don't have to worry about it. We are absolutely covered by that. That's not the case for every other contractor in town. Right? That's part of that story that makes you a little bit different. This could be that you're factory trained and certified. Your team knows the products that you're putting in the customer's home better than anybody else in town. This could be that you've been in business for 75 years. I have one client who uses this one very well. He went down to the local library and he found the yellow pages from 10 years ago. He made copies of the pages for the contractors in his trade. Then when his team meets the customer, they'll remind the customer that you don't want to buy a system for just here and now. Isn't it kind of interesting that when customers make a purchase, they purchase it for today? Yet they're going to have that system for years. They have to remember, their system is going to last them for several years and they need to buy it from somebody who's going to be around for the entire life of that system. That's not always the case, they'll tell their customer. They'll pull out this laminated copy of the yellow pages from 10 years ago and they'll say, you know, in fact, if we look back just 10 short years ago, these were the contractors in this market. They'll pull out a dry erase marker and they'll put a big X through those that are no longer in business. These guys, they went out of business a long time ago, they'll say. And these guys, they went out 5 years ago, another big X. And these guys, they went out of business last year. Then they'll remind their customer, now your system again is going to last you for more than just a couple of years. You need to be buying it from somebody who's going to be here and be able to support it throughout its entire lifetime. Us, we've been here for over 75 years. And we'll be here for the entire length of your system to make sure that it's operating at the same great level of comfort and efficiency as the day that we install it for you. Make sure that you're getting everything that you're buying. You do a lot of stuff right, Are you letting your customers know about them? Don't assume that they know. They don't. And as much as you think that they know you well, it's not about you. You have to remember that. It's not about you. It's about them. They have their own life, their own problems, their own issues. They know of you. They don't know you. I ran into this recently at a dental office that I went to. Again, I'm in the customer's home all the time, and I'm used to it. I'm only in the dental office twice per year. Now, even though I know these people at this office, and you know, I've been going there for a long time, I was a little bit surprised by the response I got recently when I arrived. Apparently, that dental practice had purchased a new computer system, and they needed to update their records. The individual at the front desk greeted me and proceeded to say, hey, we got a new system, so I'm going to throw some paperwork at you. Give us some information, will you? And she said this with kind of a chuckle or a laugh behind her. Now, I went ahead and took care of that. And, you know, a little while later when I was talking to the hygienist, I had mentioned this. And the hygienist said, yeah, she does that because she thinks it makes customers feel more like friends than they do patients. I totally disagree. I mean, yes, I know them. Yes, I even like them. But when I go to the dentist, I want them to be professional about it. I don't want them to be casual when they're about to bill me for services that I really don't want, but I know I need. I want them to be professional and efficient in the way that they handle me. And even though I have no problems going to the dentist, I just want it to be over. You're no different. You're not there to be their friend. You're there to solve a problem for them. Keep that in mind. Okay, time to change gears for a minute. Let's talk about your story, that brand that you have. Remember, the only question is it a good brand or a bad brand? You know your story. You've lived your story. But do your employees know your story? You may not be the one going into the customer's home. Every person in your company needs to know and be able to tell your story. This drives much of what you do as a company. It drives much of your culture. This became very clear to me recently when I did some training for a company that I've worked with for a number of years. They brought me in to meet with their field team to address some of the issues with things like not following policy and processes that were established and not necessarily taking advantage of the upsell opportunities that they had in front of them, things like that. The company owner kicked off this meeting and he started out by thanking the team for getting there early so we could start on time. Then he proceeded to tell them the story of the company. He said, now some of you give me a hard time because I'm a plumber who's into heating and cooling. See, in this company, they always give the owner a hard time because all he knows about heat, HVAC is that if it's cold, you turn the thermostat up a little bit more. Now, this may not have been too far from the truth for this guy, but the real truth is this is one of the best plumbers you will ever find anywhere. So he continued. He goes, do you know why this plumber is into HVAC? Well, at one time, I owned a plumbing company. My best friend owned a heating and cooling company. This was the guy that I kind of bounced ideas off of. We shared many of the same customers, many of the same types of problems. You know, it kind of helped us to be able to get out, an outside opinion regarding some of the issues that we dealt with on a daily basis. And he was really, my sounding board is what he said. At the same time, I was his sounding board. And as we had these discussions over the years, we just started talking about, the fact that since we have the same problems when we're wrestling with and many of the exact same customers, just think of how efficient we could be if we combined our efforts. We could eliminate the duplicate work, the duplicate accounts, and we could focus on making money by really taking care of our customers. Well, they eventually decided that this was going to be the best route, and they merged their companies together. Our plumbing facilities here, were larger than his HVAC facilities, so we decided to combine the companies into this building. As he went on to tell the story, he said, their combined team spent about a week moving the HVAC company over into the new buildings. And after a week's worth of hard work, they basically gave the entire team off for the rest of the day on Friday. The owner of the HVAC company took the day off to finish some work around his home, so he was ready to rock and roll on Monday morning with the new, company, if you will. That weekend, he had an accident and was killed. On Monday morning, instead of starting out under the new combined company, our plumber friend had a group of technicians now looking at him and going, okay, new boss, now what? In addition to dealing with the loss of his friend, he now had to figure out how to run an HVAC company and keep that team intact. And as he shared that story that with the team that morning in that meeting room, he said, during those first days, it was everything we could do just to survive. It was everything we could do to get by day. We put some forms in place just so we could have some way to track what we were doing. I had no idea how to run an HVAC company. It's different than running a plumbing company. Now, some of the forms that we put in place during that terrible time are the same forms that we use today. Then he turns the meeting over to me and he walks out. And I'm going, wow, way to set me up there, friend. But here's the thing. I asked the group, I started out this way. I said, how many of you guys have been here for less than a year? And I had a couple of hands that went up in the air. I said, okay, how many of you have been here less than 2 years? A few more hands went up. I said, less than three, and then less than four, and less than five. And each time, a few more hands went up in the room. By that point, I had more than half the hands in the room in the air. Then I asked, I said, okay, by a show of hands, how many of you was this the first time that you heard that story? And about half of those new hands went up in the air. Now, I've personally been in the room when that same company owner shared that exact same story. And some of those same guys were in that room that day as well. They had heard the story. They just never internalized it. They never took it to heart. They didn't know what it meant to them. We spent the next several hours talking about how they treat their customers, how they talk to their customers, how they tell their story, and why they tell their story. Now, again, there's a lot of companies out in your market that provide the same products and services that you do. Why should they call you? Now, I'm not saying, every one of their technicians should be able to tell the story about how this guy fell off the roof and was killed. What I am telling them is, why do we do the things that we do in our company? And for that particular company, it was shaped by what happened all those years ago. And the rest of the team needs to understand what goes in behind the story and why we do what we do. It's important. Again, you have a brand. Is it a good brand or is it a bad brand? Now, as a company owner or a department leader, if you don't feel like you're sharing your vision and your story ad nauseum, you're probably not doing it enough. Your people will not pick this up by osmosis. Right? They're not going to pick it up because you share it with them once and we ended the meeting. You need to be blending and weaving it into every meeting, every conversation, every example that you give them. Think about these things, right? Where do you want them to park when they get to the customer's home? Why? How do you want your team to greet the customer and why? Right? How do you want them to show up at the door? Do they hand a business card? Do they introduce themselves? How do you want them to introduce themselves when they first see the customer? How do you want them to share information with the customer? Do they just verbalize it? Do they put it in writing and summarize what they have in writing? You need to define that. How do you want them to present the pricing and the services or repairs that are needed? How do you want them to recommend options and upgrades to the customer? How do you want them to generate qualified sales leads when needed? How do you want them to talk about maintenance agreements with the customer? How do you want them to turn those leads over to the sales team? All of this goes back to your story. If every team member at your company can't tell the story the way that you want it told, quite frankly, they're making it up. And the story that they're telling the customer may very well be somebody else's story. Keep in mind that many techs don't do this intentionally. They likely got into this field because they like working with their hands and fixing things. If they were world-class orators, they'd probably be in a different field. They're likely not masterful communicators. The perfect service call for most technicians, keep this in mind, is a call where they don't have to talk to anybody while they're at the customer's home. They can slip in, do their job, and slip back out again. Now, they have to talk to the customer and talk to them about, of all things, money and more. Get them comfortable talking to the customer. Get them comfortable telling the story. Keep in mind that the technician carries more credibility with the customer than anybody else in the company, bar none. More than the company owner, more than the salespeople, more than the dispatcher, more than the CSR. Why is that? If you think about it, what are they in the customer's home to do? What's their role? They're there to solve a problem. Everybody else from your company that comes out to the customer's home is trying to sell something in some way, shape, or form. The technician, on the other hand, is there to solve my problems. If they can, you know, if the tech can really understand this, and they can really wrap their mind around it, the customer will end up buying more from them than anybody else in the company. They trust the technician. They're here to help me. What they say goes. In fact, in many cases, if the technician makes a recommendation to the customer, it almost doesn't matter what the sales team says later on. Here again, it's important for them to know the company's story. How do we do things here? Why do we do them that way? Are we here to provide warm air or cold air? Or are we here to provide comfort? There's a difference. Are we here to put in another light switch? Or are we here to provide a safe, efficient electrical system that can provide, you know, really improve the customer's way of life and let them enjoy movie night in lighting that replicates the movie theater? There's a difference. Are we here to cut the grass? Or do we provide lush green lawns that provide hours of relaxing and a place where the kids can play? There's a difference. And our team needs to know our story and what we're providing to the customer. If the technician recommends an entry-level, low-price option, it almost doesn't matter what the sales team says, the customer will want an entry-level, low-price option. If the technician recommends a higher-priced, more luxury item, it almost doesn't matter what the sales team says, the customer will want to buy that extra option. You get my point here. Does your team know how to have that conversation with your customer? This will take role-playing in your office. Now, the customers, the technicians rather, hate this, right? Do it in your team meetings. Again, they'll tend to hate it. But rest assured, if they can't do it in the safety and the comfort of your shop or your training room, they will never do it in front of the customer. They'll tell you they will, but they won't. Now, one last story to kind of illustrate this point, and then we'll move on. Many of you know that, you know, before I joined Grandy & Associates, I spent 22 years with a wholesale distributor in the of HVAC equipment. I spent 15 years of that time in the field working with contractors in basements, in crawl spaces, in attic spaces, on rooftop units, scraping the skin off my knuckles alongside those same contractors. Now, during these years, I saw and heard many examples of technicians who didn't know how to tell the company's story, and it's frustrating. I remember on one particular job, we were in the basement of a customer looking at their furnace. It was a more advanced furnace and one that provided an unbelievable level of comfort to the customer, and that's why the customer bought it. I also knew that this particular contractor spent a lot of money on marketing to differentiate themselves in their market. They didn't want to provide just warm air. They wanted to provide a level of comfort to the customer that the customer could not get from anybody else in town. As a result, the majority of their sales were in higher tier product. I was there working with, you know, the company's senior technician, and as I was working on the furnace doing some troubleshooting, the senior tech was behind me just jaw-jacking away. He's talking to the customer, right? He's just filling airspace, right? He doesn't like it to be quiet, right? So it seemed he just kept talking and talking and talking to fill in the dead space with talk. Well, at one point, I hear him behind me just talking away. He goes, you know, this is good equipment and all, but I'm just one of those guys who likes to put my meter leads on those two wires, and I either have voltage or I don't. There's none of this DC volt magic stuff to deal with. What did he just tell the customer? Think about it. You bought one of these? Are you kidding me? Man, did you get ripped off. Who sold you this thing? Right? What? Man. Who'd you let, you know, how much did they take you for it? Oh, it was us? Oh. Right. We just threw our own company underneath the bus. And that's exactly what he did. If this company owner had known how this senior tech was talking to their customers on a regular basis, they would not have been happy. The company owners know how much money we're spending to get the customers to call them instead of calling the local chuck in a truck. Right. When I asked the company owner if they had a feel for how their techs communicated with their customers, they said, well, maybe some of the young guys are a little rough, but we're confident the rest of the team is solid. When I shared my conversation that took place with this in this customer's basement, they were mortified. Let's just suffice it to say that I don't think the owner or the tech had a real good day that day. Make sure that every person in your team knows your story. knows what you're offering to your customers. Every person in the company has a responsibility to tell your story, to tell the next potential customer what makes you different. Again, if you don't feel like you're talking about this to the end, to the point of overdoing it, you're probably not doing it enough. All right, let's change directions one more time. You know, one way to help with all of this is to make sure that your customers know what you're talking about. Once again, the techs are not necessarily the best communicators in the world. In many cases, they talk too technical. They talk to the customer in the same way that they would talk to one of their fellow techs. The problem with this is that your customers are not technicians. If they were, they wouldn't need to call you. They'd just do it themselves. When your technicians are talking to your customers, they need to make sure that they're using words that the customer fully understands. If you're selling HVAC, does your customer know what you mean when you say that their new air conditioner will have a two-stage compressor or an inverter-driven compressor? Of course not. To them, it's just a compressor. The other guy had a compressor in his unit as well, so since they both have compressors, they're both the same. And if they're all the same, the only thing we have left to sell is price. If you're selling pool maintenance, does the customer know the difference between the weekly chemical service that they can get anywhere or full pool maintenance? If not, there's no difference. I'm currently getting the pool service from the other guy, and he's less expensive. If they don't know that yours also includes an annual maintenance checkup to go through a complete system checkup every year, then there's no difference. And if there's no difference, the only thing you have left to talk about is price. Make sure your entire team knows how to tell the story in a way that the customer fully understands. If they don't, then you're just like everybody else in your market, and you can't win that battle. There will always be somebody who's willing to do the work cheaper than you. If you try to get caught up in this battle, it's a fast race to the bottom, and the guy in town who understands his pricing the least is now dictating the pricing for your company. Don't get sucked into that battle. Think about it for a minute. Do people spend more money on wants or on needs? Again, I'll use an HVAC example. Is heating and cooling a want or is it a need? Now, depending on where you're located geographically, one or the other at least is going to be a need. Right? If you're in irrigation, is this a want or is it a need? Depending on where you are, it could be either. If you're into pools and spas, is that a want or is it a need? My next question is, what level of system is a need? If a customer buys an entry-level system, does that meet the need? Again, in that HVAC example, right? Does the entry-level system meet the need? Sure it does. They got heat, they got cooling. When the customer upgrades to the next level, are they buying a want or are they buying a need? The answer? They will always spend more money on a want. Always. You might say that they need something to be more efficient, but really, they want something to be more efficient. That's a want. They'll spend more money for a want. If you're in the pool and spa business, is the pool a want or a need? Well, it may very well be a want. But once they have one, is the chemical treatment now a want or a need? In the South, it's likely a need. Sure, they could do it themselves, but many don't have the know-how. They can't keep on top of it, right? The tube, whatever the case is, right? If you're in the North, this may very well be a want. Which will people pay more for, the want or the need? Always the want. If you're in the lawn care business, is getting the lawn cut a want or a need? For a business with no facilities department, it very well may be a need. For the homeowner who doesn't want to be out there each week in the heat, it's always a want. This crosses all areas of our life, right? People need transportation. Someone I knew recently needed transportation, so he bought a scooter so he could get to work and to school. He wants a car, but he needs transportation. The scooter meets that need for today. By winter, he'll need a car. The scooter won't cut it in a foot of snow. The need for today is met. By fall, he'll find a $500 beater car that will get him from point A to point B through the winter. He's figuring that by spring, he'll have enough say that he can upgrade his $500 beater to a $1,500 beater. He'll drive that one until he can get something better. He fully understands the difference between wants and needs right now. I asked the question this way. How many of you drive a quad cab truck? If you said yes, then I have to ask you, how many people are typically in that quad cab truck with you? Huh? Odds are, at most, it's one. But you say you need to have a quad cab truck to have someplace to keep your tools warm and dry so they're ready to go when you need them and haul stuff in the truck. Who are you kidding? You went for decades without a quad cab truck. You want a quad cab truck. You don't need a quad cab truck. You're telling yourself that you do. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. I drive a quad cab truck, and I love it. Right? Most times, it's just my wife and I who are in there. I don't need it. I want it. I like it for hauling the stuff around that I do. Sure, it's more convenient, but I'm well aware this is a want. It's not a need. We're willing to spend more money for this luxury because of what we can do with it. Right? We're willing to spend more money, and we can justify that, but many times, we're having a hard time convincing ourselves that our customers will spend more money for the wants that we can provide to them. Don't sell yourself short. Now, before we wrap up our time together, I'll leave you with one more thing to think about. When it comes to telling your story, who are you telling it to? How many customers do you have? You know, it's interesting, when we ask the question to many contractors, they'll give me an answer of, well, we got 3,000 customers, we got 3,500 customers, 5,000 customers, 15,000 customers, whatever. I didn't ask how many names you had in your database. I asked how many customers you had. Is there a difference? Let me ask you this question. If you haven't done business with a customer in 2 years, are they still your customer? You ran a service call for them 2 years ago, and you haven't been in contact with them since. You haven't done any work for them since. Are they still your customer? Odds are, you don't have as many customers as you think you do. Now, unless you live in a very small community or a rural area, if you don't have, if you haven't done anything with a customer in at least 2 years, they're no longer your customer. If you did work for them 2 years ago, they very well may have grabbed their smartphone, did a quick Google search to find you. If your text didn't upgrade them to a maintenance agreement, or if you've not kept in touch with them in any way, shape, or form, then when they need work again, they'll likely just pull out their handy-dandy smartphone and do another Google search. And this time, they might find somebody else. 63% of customers state that they didn't use the same contractor as last time, even if they were fully satisfied with the work that that contractor did, for one very simple reason. They couldn't remember who you were. You need to touch your customers at least 7 times per year in ways that lets them know that you care. One suggestion here might be to send them email reminders for standard maintenance items that they would normally perform themselves. You can use a service like an eye contact or a constant contact to automate this process, or use your in-house system if it can handle it. Right, but you need to be touching them in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be something that involves a lot of work on your part, but we do need to touch them. Remember how many of you that I can find in a Google search in 0.5 seconds? There's a bunch of you out there who can provide similar services to you, and they very well could meet my needs. But there's only one who can serve me the way that you can. What's your cold filter brewed? Can you meet my wants? What do you do that makes you different? If you're not letting them know that you're still there and that you still care, they'll forget about you. Heck, you accomplished the hardest part. You got them to call you in the first place. Don't make them find you all over again. Keep in touch with them. So as we wrap this up, remember these key points. Number one, while we're in our customer's home every day, it's second nature to us. It's not second nature to our customers. They only have you in their home once, maybe twice per year. Number two, 68% of customers claim that they are not satisfied with the work that their contractor has done for them. The bar isn't set real high. Pay attention to those little things that will absolutely set you apart. Number three, what is your cold filter brewed? What are those things that you do every day that your customers should know about? Things that tell them that you are different. Don't get caught up in the fact that others may do it as well, or that everybody has to do it. If you're the only one telling the customer about it, you are unique. Number four, what are those small things that you do for your customer while you're in their home that will set you apart? Things like waxing the outdoor unit or changing the batteries in the smoke detectors, checking the dates on CO detectors. Remember, those are things that any trade can do as part of their normal checks in the home. Number five, it's not about you. It's about them. Don't take your customer or your company's relationship with that customer for granted. Strive to make every contact with them a professional one. You're not there to be their friend. Instead, you're there to solve their problems. Make providing professional service your top priority. Number 6, do your techs know your story? Do they know why you do the things that you do? If not, you're fighting a losing battle. Number 7, the technician has more credibility with the customer than anybody else in the company. They are there to help them. If the tech can fully wrap their minds around this important fact, the customer will buy more from them than anyone else in the company. Number 8, talk the customer's language. Make sure the customer understands the words that you're using. If they don't, you're just inviting your competitor to bid down your price. Number 9, customers will always spend more on wants than they will for needs. Make sure that you meet their needs, but speak to their wants and their desires. That's what will get them to spend more money and make them far more satisfied with their purchase. And number 10, tell your story regularly. If you get the opportunity to work with a customer, keep in touch with them. You need to touch your customers at least 7 times per year. Remember, you do a lot of things right. Leverage them. Watch your profits soar. And hey, make a decision to make it a profitable day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.